How did Christian communities in the past respond to godless cultures? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Embracing Godly Character, The Christian Community's Response to a Godless Culture. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Embracing Godly Character at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Embracing Godly Character, 1-800-325-3040.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You know, they talk about just so stories. This is a little fable or a little myth that purports to, in a tongue-in-cheek way, explain something that we observe in the world around us, like how the leopard got his spots or, you know, those kind of stories that are going to, we know that they're not true. They're just there to kind of give us a whimsical way of thinking about those things. And there are many, sadly, even some Christians who regard the story in Genesis chapter 3 of the serpent and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the temptation and the eating of that tree and, well, the fall into sin and God walking in the garden and searching for Adam and his consort Eve, calling out to them and then finding them in their shame and their nakedness. Just a just-so story, just something to whimsically explain how, well, how it came to be that we are so bad to one another and men are generally inhumane to other humans. Is it just a just-so story? Is it just a whimsical explanation of, but not a real explanation, of how sin entered the world? We're going to be talking about that very chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, and the account of the fall, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Why is it so important, as we've said already with Genesis chapters 1 and 2, why is it so important that Genesis chapter 3 not be simply kind of a mythical way of explaining why men are bad?
A mythical way would mean, therefore, it's not historically accurate, and we therefore get teachings from it, namely, just as in the creation, God created, but it doesn't say how he created, or that somehow sin entered into the world, and we've got a story about the first two people, but that's not really how it happened. Why that is so disastrous is that Jesus is under the impression that Adam and Eve were the first people. Paul is under the impression sin entered into the world through the sin of Adam and Eve. Therefore, if Genesis 3 is not accurate history, how can we be assured of any other part of the Bible that is accurate, that takes that to be accurate history? In fact, when Jesus talks about that on Judgment Day, he will come and divide the sheep from the goats, how do we know that that's not a myth? Or even, more importantly, as many already believe, that the cross of Jesus Christ did not save anybody. It is a myth. It really didn't happen. He didn't rise from the dead. So by disbelieving a portion of Genesis, we fall into the same trap that Eve did with Satan's precise question, did God really say, did he really recognize that sin came into the world by two people? Did he really give a promise to Adam and Eve about a savior to come? The entire scripture no longer can become an assurance if we don't believe in the historicity of Genesis 1, 2, and 3.
The account begins with the serpent. No explanation as to who this serpent is, although it becomes readily apparent to anyone reading on who this is. The serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. This is the devil himself, isn't it?
Yes, but you don't get to know that until the book of Revelation, where he is revealed, the serpent, to be the devil himself. I often will ask folks, who's the serpent in the garden? They'll say, well, the devil. How do you know that? There are no Bible verses that specifically say the serpent is the devil in the Old Testament books, but it is found in Revelation. And when it says that he is crafty, that's kind of an opposite meaning of being truly wise. The word crafty here implies a manipulation to suit oneself. So all sinners are always crafty. They're looking out for their own self-interest. In contrast to being wise, which means to conform your ideas to God's truth. And so therefore, the devil had one goal, as he always does, and that is to get the believers away from Jesus Christ.
Now, someone paying close attention might detect something here, and that is some kind of a fall has already occurred here, not with Adam and Eve yet, but with the devil. They're going to ask, where did he come from? How does he get to be the force of evil that he is?
Yeah, that's another question I often ask. Who did the first sin? And people will say, well, it was Adam and Eve. I said, no, it was the angels that fell. And that's recorded. There was a war between the angel Michael and his angels versus the other angels who fell. So there was a fall in the creation, but this is the first fall recorded for human beings on earth. When the devils fell, the good angels, and became bad angels, there was not a consequence of death. In fact, they will never die. They'll be going to hell forever. But it is with the fall of Adam and Eve that has an impact on the creation of which we are aware of, namely the universe, the earth, the world, and human beings.
So at some point between let there be light and did God really say, the devil and other angelic beings rebelled against
God. Yes.
I
would say even later than let there be light, because that was the first day. At the end of the seventh day, God said, and all was good. And that would have been his entire creation, which I presume also means the angels. So between the first week and before Eve had a child, and that takes 9 months, there was a fall of the angels, and that was the temptation that Eve received in the Garden of Eden.
You pointed out from the very beginning that the devil's temptation begins with questioning whether or not God really said something. Take us into that.
This is probably the most important point I want to make today. Is if you ask, what did Adam and Eve fall into? Many people will say sin. But then when you ask them, what was their sin? They will say they disobeyed God. Now, I'm not disagreeing they disobeyed God, but that is not the essence of sin. And we learn that from the Ten Commandments, where the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The essence of sin is not that they disobeyed God, which they did, but the reason they disobeyed God is because of their unbelief in God's word rather than the Satan's word. Now, why is that important? Every other religion in the world, Todd, teaches that the way you get back into the graces of God, since sin is disobedience, is you start becoming obedient. Look at the Pharisees. Thank God I'm not like that tax collector. You know, I tithe, I fast, etc. They think their obedience is what saves them. But when you realize that the fall of Adam and Eve into sin was really a fall due to unbelief, then it makes sense that the only way they can be saved is through faith, not through obedience. Because nobody, since the fall of man into sin, can be obedient enough to save themselves.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Genesis chapter 3, sin entering the world. When we come back, he doesn't stop simply by asking, did God really say? When he gets his response from Eve, he has a response of his own. He says, you will not surely die. Now, he's not only questioning what God said, he's actually saying that God had lied to them. Stay tuned. How did Christian communities in the past respond to godless cultures? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Embracing Godly Character, The Christian Community's Response to a Godless Culture. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Embracing Godly Character at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Embracing Godly Character, 1-800-325-3040.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdCruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Well, I think one thing we're going to do right out of the gate is define what pro-life is.
Scott Klusendorf talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That term is now being confused, it's being put up for grabs, and we're going to make clear what the pro-life syllogism is, how we can make that case for life with people who don't accept biblical authority, who maybe don't even know what it is we stand for, and are subject to being confused. So there's a crying need to clarify what pro-life means, what our actual arguments are, and then we'll look at five bad ways people argue against the pro-life case in the public square so that we can be prepared to give good, solid, Christ-honoring answers.
You can meet and hear Scott Klusendorf making the case for life at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Learn more about conference speakers and topics and register at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Sin Entering the World, in Genesis chapter 3. Let's pick up where we left off here, Tom, where the serpent first asks a question, did God really say this? The woman responds with, well, yeah, this is what he said. She has a little commentary on what he said as well. But then the devil lays his cards on the table and in essence tells the woman and the man, God's lying to you. Pick it up there.
Yes. In fact, this is a good point that Growing in Christ material gives. It starts with the serpent beginning with an implied lie. Did God actually say? And then when Eve does a terrible thing, she tries to defend God. And that's almost a sin right there. Because when she defends God, she adds something to what God has said. Nowhere did God say you couldn't touch the fruit and perhaps you might die, but the actual Hebrew is exactly that, what she says. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Perhaps you might die. She's even doubting that. Now, Satan has got her, and that's when he says the lie. He says, God knows that when you eat of the tree, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. It's important to understand, we often talk about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Another proper translation is the tree by which good and evil are known. In other words, you know good when you obey God's will and believe his promises. You know evil when you disobey God's word because of your unbelief. And that's exactly what happened. When they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, immediately not only their relationship with God was broken, but their relationship with one another was. They saw they were naked and they were ashamed. That had not occurred prior to the fall of themselves into sin. And so this is how the devil works. He questions God. He allows you to defend God and then picks up something you might have said in order to tell a lie. And Adam and Eve become what we call schwärmerei. The English translation for that is enthusiasts. Martin Luther was really faced with them quite a bit. These are people who base their theology not on what the Word of God says, but what their own spirit is telling them. The best example of that is Joel Osteen. He says, do you ever have a desire to do something? That's from God. And if you have enough faith, you'll be able to do that without any Bible verses attached to that desire. So this is where sin really comes in. This is an act of idolatry on the part of Eve and Adam, in that they're now saying, no, I want to be like God. And therefore, when we say that, we always sin.
They eat from the tree. The devil never says, eat it, eat it. He just says, you know, this is an alternate story. This is what's really going to happen. If you eat it, I'm not telling you have to eat it or anything, but they do. And it says their eyes were opened and they saw that they were naked and were ashamed. What happens next?
What happens then is God's promise comes to fulfillment. Namely, in the day that you sin, you shall surely die. Now, some people will say, well, they didn't die. But Jesus refers to the walking Pharisees as the walking dead, because you are living in death when you are separated from the source of life, namely Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say something that was really helpful to me. There was nothing in the fruit of the tree that was deadly in itself. The reason it became deadly is because God had made a judgment that eating it would be evil. And I think our world has forgotten that. For example, people commit fornication, they have gay marriage. We cannot say that that is deadly in and of itself. But from God's point of view, it is deadly because they are now again eating from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They're eating the evil and they're not even being aware that they are going against God's word in unbelief. This is very important to understand, that some people say, well, that's not so bad a sin because nothing bad happens. No, no. It's a sin, and it is deadly because it is contrary to the word of God, not because the fruit was poisonous. And that's what Adam and Eve, of course, found out.
When God finds them, he issues curses upon each one of them. But in the curse of the serpent, he also attaches for the man and the woman the greatest promise ever made. What was it?
Yes. A lot of people, I asked this question recently at a Bible class. What's the Old Testament? Oh, that's where the law is. What's the New Testament? That's where the gospel was. And I said, no, law and gospel are found in both the Old and the New Testament. This is called a Protoevangelium, which is the first gospel. And it is Genesis 3:15. God is talking to the serpent here. And what he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. That means there's going to be hatred. There's going to be a war between you and the woman. Between your offspring, and that's in the plural, which is referring to the many offspring of Satan, and her offspring, which I confident not only is in the singular, but look at the word right after. He shall bruise your head. Now, believe it or not, the Latin Vulgate puts she down, referring to the Virgin Mary, we think. But no, it's he. It's the masculine. He shall bruise your head. So who is this offspring that is a he? It's none other than Jesus Christ himself. And in the process of bruising the head of the serpent, which means you killed the serpent, he's also going to bruise the heel of Jesus. In fact, that's the word used in Isaiah. Bruised for our iniquities, the Lord laid on him the chastisement of us all. What we have here is a beautiful picture that through the seed of Eve will come the Messiah, and he will crush the work of Satan and restore us to life. And we know that Eve and Adam believed that because when she gave birth to Cain, one of the translations in Genesis 4 is, she has gotten a man, the Lord. She thinks Cain is the promised Messiah, when in reality, he's the first murderer.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it and to Concordia Publishing House's Growing in Christ Sunday School curriculum under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to turn to the subject of transgenderism in the military. Walt Heyer will join us. He's a former transgender and author of a recent column for The Federalist. President Trump, do not turn the military into a federally funded sex change clinic.
For the 5th annual Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 17th and 18th, added to benefit Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville. The show is a fundraiser produced by a volunteer parents group with the support of over 70 exhibitors and partners. Admission and parking are free. Hear home and garden speakers from Priscilla's Nursery and Mosby Building Arts. See a monster truck from Dex's Tree Service. Meet radio personalities and Fred Bird, too. Participate in the Cardinal Glennon Safety Fair, child fingerprinting and fire safety, and take advantage of pet adoption, electronic recycling, and shredding services on site. Register to win a fire pit from Outdoor Creations and an all-inclusive trip for two at an AM resort courtesy of Jadina Tweston at Travel One and Fun Jet Vacations. Restrictions apply. The Metro East Home and Garden Show is sponsored by the Bank of Edwardsville, CJDE Recycling, Scott Credit Union, Mosquito Joe's, Riverbender, and EdGlennToday.com. Show details can be found at MEHGS.org or on Facebook.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.